The Holy Gospel for this Easter day is recorded in Luke, the 24th chapter. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they didn't find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. So we've been talking all this past season about giving up more than chocolate for Lent. We had all these chains and these things that we tend to hang on to. And we're talking about giving those things up for more than a season for life, giving up things that get in the way of receiving the life that God wants us to have. Giving up control over things I don't really have control over anyway. For instance, giving up expectations that just lead to disappointments because they're outside of what God wants for us. Giving up having to be right all the time. Giving up this need to put others down so that we can feel bigger than them. Giving up resentments and grudges that make people our enemies rather than our brothers and sisters, as different as they may be from us. Giving up going alone, as if it were all up to us. Giving up self-interest over interest in what God wants. And why have we been talking about all these things to give up this season? Because they lead to death, that's why. They lead to dead ends. They don't lead to life. The life our Lord Jesus died for us to have. But, that's the first word of our gospel reading, in case you didn't notice. But, it's a big three-letter word that suggests we're in for a game changer here, guys. But, now, today, we're even talking about giving up what St. Paul calls the last enemy, death. The death that comes from all those other things that we're called to give up that we truly did believe led to life, but really only led to death. These women, these faithful, courageous women, were the first to arrive at the tomb early that first Sunday morning. After they had been the only followers of Jesus to stick it out at that ugly place of the skull where they witnessed Jesus, their last best hope, die on the cross. But yet they come bringing spices to do the ritual preparation of Jesus' body for burial. They believe it's all over. Death has had the last word. But when they get there, what? The stone's been rolled away. There's no body lying there, and there's two witnesses in dazzling white who say to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" Well, that question gets turned on you this morning like a mirror, right now. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Because that's what we're doing when we refuse to give up those things that we think are going to lead to life and peace and happiness and joy, but only lead to death. Pick your favorite thing that you have a hard time giving up. Maybe it's having to have all the answers. I hear that from people who say to me, "I just can't believe in a God who would allow all these bad things to happen to me. Or maybe it's having to give up a codependent type of trying to keep control over everything. Because you grew up maybe in an alcoholic family or some kind of dysfunctional family, and you thought you were responsible for everybody else and everybody else's feelings and behavior, and if you just managed to control this or that situation or this or that outcome, maybe they and maybe then you even would have some peace finally, huh? But you came to the end of your rope because, try as you might, there were still people who were unhappy with you, no matter what you did. Or maybe it's ordering your world by labeling people. These are good, these are bad, these are right, these are wrong, these are good, these are evil people. And you do that because life is just too darn complicated. You know, you just want to keep it simple. But try as you might, somebody defies your categories and leaves it even more confused than before. Maybe it's just that you're sick and tired of being disappointed. Maybe you thought you'd found this ideal relationship where you could finally be safe and never get hurt and have somebody who just really understood you, you know? And you realize that you can't have an intimate relationship with anybody, including inside the church, by the way, without getting hurt sometimes. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally, but it just is part of a relationship. So you find, as hard as to seek for it, there's no perfect relationship, no relationship that won't end up disappointing you in some way or another. Because you can't be in an intimate relationship without it. Maybe you thought, if I just get all the right grades, get into the right school, get the right career going, then finally I'll be secure. And then the oil prices plunge, and there you are, without the job that you thought would keep your life secure. Or you think, I just have this one timer on the clock, one life to live, as the soap opera was called. Then it's over with. So I better grab all the Easter eggs I can get, or all the gusto I can get, wherever I can find it. And you know, then that ends up being just boring and depressing. When we're hanging on to all those things, we're like those cynical disciples hanging out in that upper room, despondent, hopeless, fearful, kind of giving up hope. And when the women come back shouting, "The stone's been rolled away! The tomb is empty! He's risen! He's risen!" And in our despair and cynicism, it just seems like an idle tale. We don't want to get hurt again, thank you. We don't want to be disappointed again, so go away. Leave us alone. We'll just stay hiding out in this place of death, still trying to believe there's life in this lifeless thing somehow if I just make it work right. And then Paul says to us, if in this life only we have hope, we're of all people most to be pitied. And then we hear the three-letter word, but, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who've died. He's risen, see? And that but word, that game changer of a word, that but doesn't come from us or our efforts to achieve it. Instead, while we're still caught in those deaths from hanging on to all that other stuff, looking for love in all the wrong places, so to speak, love comes and finds us. If you read just a few more sentences of Luke 24, you find out, surprisingly, that the risen one meets us on our road to Emmaus, where in our despair, we don't even recognize the living one has been walking with us all along, all the while that we were hanging on to all those things that will never bring the peace, the hope, the joy we long for. All the while, this living Lord has been right here, walking right alongside of us. Or those times when we lock ourselves away because there's no reason to hope that things can really be different, and he breaks in, right through our locked doors and breathes on us, the scripture says, and says, peace be with you. Be whole, be well, shalom, that's what that means. Be well, be whole in all ways, even when your situation seems most hopeless. Right here, the Lord of life breaks in and says, because I live, you too shall live. Death has no power over you. Give it up. Give it up. Death shall have no dominion here. The rules of the game have changed. So, why do you seek the living among the dead? Do you think a dad and his three sons and two kids last night were baptized here because they want to keep hanging on to things that don't work anymore? If for this only life, this life only we have hope, we're of all most to be pitied. And you know what? Those of us who have known this Easter story most of our lives are sometimes the ones most to be pitied. Why? Because we keep hanging on to something less than the life that is life indeed. Don't you see it? In the risen one, we're born from above, from outside of ourselves, reborn to a new life entirely, an eternal life. And you've already died in your baptism. Nothing can harm or hurt or kill you anymore. No disappointment, no loss, as great as that loss may be. No separation, no sin as unforgivable as you may think it is, can separate you from the life that is life indeed. You're dead to all that old stuff, even when you keep trying to hang on to it, because none of that dead stuff has any power over you anymore. So how do you get more of what's already here for you? Yeah, just receive it. Just receive it. In water, in word, in bread and wine, in with and under the bread and wine. So, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. And as we get to know deeper down and deeper down each time you hear this story, that it's no idle tale. Life just keeps getting better and better. And we find ourselves singing with all those who've given up death for good, like the choir's going to sing in just a minute. Lord, I keep so busy praising my Jesus. Keep so busy praising my Jesus. Keep so busy praising my Jesus. Ain't got time to die.